Welcome to Sister Share, where six sisters living around the world come together each week to talk about motherhood, health, cooking, parenting, and so much more. Thanks for joining us today.
Hello, welcome to Sister Share. We're so happy you joined us this week. This episode is Motherhood Matters, and we are recording just in time for Mother's Day. We're excited that all of the sisters are here tonight.
Hi, I'm Lorray from Idaho.
I'm Nettie. This time I'm calling in from Salt Lake City.
This is Mamie from Cache Valley.
This is Becca from Manti.
I'm Heidi from Orem.
And Katie from Spanish Fork.
So good to have everyone on the call, especially because we're talking about Mother's Day. And we're very excited that we have our very first guest here on Sister Share. Of course, in honor of Mother's Day, we have our own mother, Luann. Welcome, Mama.
Thank you. It's so fun to be here with all of you.
We've had some listeners asking us different questions and requesting different topics for our Sister Share. And recently, one of our fans said, please, I'd love to hear from the mother of all of you. And of course, everything we learned from our mother. So we're so happy you could join us in time for Mother's Day. Let's start off, Mama, would you just tell us about your mother and where you got your style of motherhood from?
Every mother is different and every mother has a different style. And every mother forms her own style by observing her own mother, but it's not necessarily our style. So I would have to say that my style was not my mother's style, but my mother was amazing. And I will always honor her as one of the heroes in my life. My mother has an incredible story, which has always been an inspiration to me. She was born with cerebral palsy. And at the time that she was born, the doctor didn't label it cerebral palsy. He told her because he had had to use instruments to deliver her, he told her parents that she would always be have some challenges. And my mother did, which, by the way, I did not know that she was challenged with many of these things till I was in sixth grade. But she had had some of her brain damaged in this delivery with forceps. And so because of that, she was not so well coordinated with her hands and her feet, and she spoke funny. When I was in sixth grade, she told me that. I had not known that before because I grew up with her. She was my mother. I loved my mother. The way she worked and the way she did things was, I observed, but it was just my mother. And we were on our way to school when I was in sixth grade. She was taking me to a little meeting there. And usually my dad had taken me to those little parent meetings. And my dad was out of town. And as we were on our way to school that day, my mother said, told me she was embarrassed to go. And I said, oh, is it because you don't have a new pair of shoes? Because she was a mother of 12 children herself and didn't often get new shoes for herself. She made sure everyone else had the new pair of shoes. And she told me, no, it wasn't. It was because she talked funny. And that's the first time that I had heard her mention that she had a speech impediment or anything. And I assured her she did not. I said, no, you don't. And I was convinced she didn't until it must have been about the next year when I went into junior high school that some of my friends asked me why my mother spoke the way she did. And then I realized, well, maybe my mother was correct in that. But having been born with cerebral palsy, she didn't let anything stand in her way. She was a productive person and very, very determined all of her life, accomplished many things, including raising 12 of us children and never giving up. That's the one thing I really can say about her. She never gave up. She believed she could do anything, and she did just about anything she wanted to do. She was a wonderful mother.
Wow, that's amazing that she raised 12 children.
And not just raised 12 children, raised 12 productive children. 12 productive, thinking, working, good children.
What do you think is her secret to raising 12 productive, good citizens?
I think she never gave up. she came from a home that was not traditional. She, her parents divorced when she was just a few years old, under the age of five, and she was raised by a single mom who had to work. She spent a lot of time in her grandparents' home, her mother's parents, where they trained her and raised her as best they could. And so coming from that, I think she probably always admired homes where there was a mother and a father. And I think she was determined to make her marriage work, no matter some of the hardships that she was faced with. And I think she wanted children in the family. She was raised with one sister. I think she wanted children. I saw her, being second oldest in the family of 12, I saw her bring these little babies into the world and love them and care for them and tend them and make them happy and always there for them, doing for them, make sure they had everything that they needed. Were fed three times a day, were bathed, all their laundry was always done, and she was consistent. That's what I loved about her. She was consistent, and it made, she wasn't the perfect mother. She would have told you that. She would have wished she would have done a lot more things in different ways, some of them, but she was consistent. And because of that, we knew that we were hers and that we were her first work.
So it seems like the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. She raised 12 children. You raised 11. I think just as many of us would say, what's your secret?
Well, my mother inspired me. She did. When Daddy and I got married, we said we would take a dozen children. We only got 11. My secret would be never giving up. And I think she gave that to me. I recall our last two, as you know, in the family were twin boys, number 10 and 11. And it was an unexpected early birth, and they were in newborn intensive care, and life got a little bit rough for us right there for a while. We had many others to tend to and five preschoolers at the time. And I remember one night thinking, as I went to bed, knowing I wouldn't get much sleep, that I didn't know if I could keep going. The babies must have been a month or so old. And my mother called just out of the blue, and she asked how I was doing. And when I told her that I didn't know if I could keep going, she said, you can keep going. You will keep going. And I think that kind of summarized how things were for her, and her belief in me, knowing what she'd been through, I think kept me going. I also know that I loved having babies. I loved children coming into the world, and they brought me the greatest, all of you brought me the greatest joy and happiness I've ever known, and continue to bring me that joy. So I think that's the main secret, that motherhood is joy.
I would just second that coming from a perspective of now having older children myself, I recognize it's hard. It was very hard. There were times we looked at ourselves and wondered, why are we doing this? But the joy comes. There are moments of joy all along the way, but joy also comes at the end as you see your children become productive. It is a lot of hard work, and I have always admired you, Mama, for continuing and for being consistent and for going and doing and being productive yourself and not giving up. So thank you.
This reminds me of a story by Marjorie Hinckley when one of her daughters called and was crying and had just had a baby and saying, my whole life has changed. And Sister Hinckley laughed and said, well, guess what? You're stuck. And I don't think we generally think of motherhood as being stuck, but it's one of those situations in life where you really can't drop out. And I appreciate Grandma Bisson's example and your example, Mama, of you just keep going and you know it's going to get better and there's going to be joy at the end. And it's kind of a blessing from Heavenly Father, maybe sometimes, that we're stuck, because that means we're committed and we're in this till the end, and that's when the joy is going to come.
I like that thought. And I think not just at the end, but the joy is so interspersed in these amazing little glimpses that you get. And then it keeps you going. Keeps you going.
One of the things that I remember about Grandma Vissen was that she would say she wanted on her tombstone for it to say, "I tried." And I got the impression often that she didn't think much of herself. She didn't think that she was doing that great of a job. She often second-guessed some of the choices she made in life. But for me, that gives me hope as a mother. I don't have to feel like I have it all together. I don't have to feel like I have everything under control. Like you said, Mama, you just keep going. You don't give up. And that's been a great consolation to me. I think it was Pa one time that said that to me. He said, the only way to fail in parenthood is to give up. If you just keep going, then eventually you'll get to the other side. The only way out is through, but if you just keep going, you'll get there.
Mama, can you share a couple of practices or practical things that Grandma Vissen did that you think really mattered to all of you children that you carried on?
I think one thing that really mattered is that she was always there. She was always there. She was always up in the mornings. She always had breakfast for us. She always had lunches packed to take to school. She waved goodbye to us as we got on the school bus. She was there when we got off the school bus. There was always dinner at night. We always sat down as a family and ate dinner. She was always there. I always knew she'd be there. I can only remember a couple of times with situations beyond her control where she wasn't there when I got off the school bus, but she was always there. She was consistent. I knew that my mother was always there. I knew if I was at school, I knew my mother was there for me if I ever needed her. She was just always there. I think that's one thing. One thing I thought of that I've learned as a mother is that a lot of the joy comes from going the second mile. So there's always laundry to do, and there's always dishes to be done, and food to be cooked, and house to clean. But I found as a mother that if I could do those chores and get them out of the way and have my children help me, and get those out of the way, and then do something extra on top of that, whether it be a little, just a little gathering flowers to put flowers on the table after the dining room's been all cleaned, or singing a song that we all love together, or having a little treat at the end, or just doing the extra mile, making sure the bed's made, but not just made, but the pillows are fluffed with a little note on it or something. The little extra mile things really bring the extra joy. And so I look forward to that. I look forward to doing, and it's brought me joy, to doing just a little few extra things as a mom.
I have to second that, Mama, because I don't know that I recognized it as a child, but as a mother, I am reminded often of those things. I remember the first time I pulled the jug of milk out of the fridge and stuck it on the table for breakfast and thought, Mama would never put a jug of milk on the table. She would always have put it in the pitcher. There are always napkins on the table. There are always flowers. There's always a centerpiece. So I have noticed and appreciated that, and it has changed my parenting. To be careful not to be too lax. We're teaching culture, too. We're teaching the niceties of life, and a mother is so much of that in a home. So thank you for that, too. Can I share one thing that I appreciate about Mama? There's a whole list of things, but one of the blessings that Mama has brought into our home as we were growing up was her love of education. I remember often sitting around the dinner table and sharing a question I had, and with, especially when you have toddlers, there are always a lot of questions being asked, like, why is the sky blue, etc. And I remember the way you responded was not like I sometimes respond, which is just that I'm thinking about the next thing and I don't want to answer, just want to get on with life. But you would take time to say, well, let's look it up.
run, get the encyclopedia, let's figure it out. And that instilled in us not just a desire to learn, but a love of an excitement for learning. It's fun to learn about new things. It's fun to explore. And I all of us went on to get higher education, I think, to a great degree because of how you responded to our questions and our thoughts and our desire to to learn new things. So I really appreciate the education that you have instilled in us.
And now it's even easier. We can all go to Google. Google knows all the answers.
Yes, I finally had some thoughts the other week. Mama, I'm glad that you brought up the second mile and the, you know, the joy that comes there, because there's so many times throughout the day that I'll think, oh, I'm doing this because Mama would have done it. You know, I'm doing this, you know, just because it's second nature. You know, Mama would have pulled out a book and read a story, or she would have read this poem to everyone, or she would have, you know, I don't know, just the fun things. She would have put the flowers on the table. She would have made the cookies for the snack, you know, after school. And I just think of the times you did that in our home. And I love, I don't know, it's special to me as a mom now. You know, there's like we've said, there's plenty of the dishes and laundry and everything that needs to be done. But it's fun to think, oh, there are so many things that are a part of me because of the mother you've been for me. And I love discovering that and feeling that as a mom, that, oh, there's some things like this that Mama's passed on that I get to do now as a mom. So I love that part about being a mom to my kids now.
I also think that when the mother goes the extra mile and does things with a smile and, you know, puts flowers on the table, takes time for the kids, it's kind of a testimony to your family that you believe life matters. You're not just doing the bare minimum and passing the time kind of in an apathetic way, but you're showing your children what you do matters and this life matters. And we don't want to just live life. We want to live life well, and we want to learn it well and have good practices and good habits so that we can have, you know, the best life possible. We're not just here passing the time. So I think mothers can really instill that ideal of life in their children that way. And you certainly did that for us, Mama. Like we said, always going the extra mile, making our birthdays special, even in simple ways, putting flowers on the table, making things happy, singing a song, reading a book. That's really changed all of us.
I was also thinking, I remember several times as we were growing up, you said, oh, wouldn't it be so fun to have a bed and breakfast, you know, that we got to, you know, to run, you know, as a business. But you said, really, I have a bed and breakfast. I get to, you know, I get to do this bed and breakfast for my kids every day. And it makes you feel like, as a mom now, as I think about that, I think, oh, it shows my children I love them, that they are the reason I do things. And certainly it's not necessarily a bed and breakfast around here, but the more that we try, the more that I try to make a home, it's such a joy. And really, I think it is what shows your kids that they're your guests. They're your special people in the world. And anyway, I love, yeah, your thoughts, Nan, about it shows them how much you love their lives. You value them, and that they're children of God, and it helps them feel that. Anyway, so I just love that.
Becca, that just brings one memory to mind. I feel like one day I got home from school and there was a big plate of cinnamon rolls for our snack. And I was just so surprised and happy. And I mean, we always had a banana or an apple or something when we got home. But I was like, Mama, you made these cinnamon rolls for us? And Mama, you said, yes. And then you said, actually, I was asked to make cinnamon rolls for a sister's family that's sick or needed a meal. And I thought to myself, I can't make cinnamon rolls and take them to the neighbor without making them for my own children. And I just remember that meant so much to me. So I've tried to follow the same pattern. If I'm making something nice for my neighbor, Let me also do the same for my children so that they get the same treat or the same fun and they know I matter to them just as much.
One of the fun things about being a mother, an older mother now with children raised, is to go into all of your homes. I just love going to each of your homes and seeing how you mother, and your daddy and I, we learned so much from going into your homes because, well, you've adopted some of the things that we did with you children. You have new ideas, and you and your husbands had put together wonderful things that we've learned from. And we've often said to ourselves, oh, wish we'd have thought of that when our children were little. And it's such a joy to go into your homes and see how you're mothering and the things that you do that are extra special and fun, and the way you, your schedules or your little family cheers or the way you call your family together for prayer or some of the routines that you have in the day. We just joy in them. Now, I just love seeing all of you as mothers and our daughter-in-laws too, as we go into their homes and seeing their families. You're all such beautiful mothers and it's fun to watch how you're raising your children to become beautiful parents as well. It's such a thrill, such a joy. The joy of mothering goes on and on. I think it never will die. It will just get better and better.
So that kind of leads into one of the questions that I had, Mama. We all admire you, and we love. I think I speak for all of us when we say we love you to visit us. You're so refreshing. Having you and Pa in our homes is such a, it's an uplifting thing. You come in, you're happy, you're energetic, you participate, you build us up, and we appreciate that. So here's my question. I now have adult children. What are some things you have consciously done to build relationships with your adult children?
For us, I think it's when we can spend time. I think time is valuable no matter, in any relationship, time is it. And I think actually we fall quite short on that because with 11 children and now 77 grandchildren and 14 great-grandchildren, I think our time is so limited. Sometimes we worry that we don't have enough time that we need to build those relationships. And then, as you know, we've been gone off and on for several months at a time doing other things with limited access to being in your homes. And so I think over the years, that's been one of our biggest worries, is that we haven't had enough time in your homes or with you to build that relationship. So maybe all of you can help me with that, how we can do better with our limited time, because we certainly want those relationships. We want them to extend into eternities, and we want to build them through having a valuable time together. So I think I need to ask that of you, Larae, and all of you.
I would love to share. Mama, it makes me feel so, so uplifted as your daughter when you come and visit us. And I know your time is to you. I don't know. I'm not saying that very well, but you know, that your time is limited. And so I feel so special when you come, and you don't just come, you do special things for our kids, which I love. But I also know that every time you come, you have done something special just for me. Because you know what it's like to be a mom. You know how overwhelming it is sometimes, or, you know, the strain that it is. And when you've come, I mean, I remember, you know, one year you came and it was, or, you know, there was a visit, you came and did a visit and it was over my birthday. And you went and bought me a dress, like an expensive dress. And I was like, Mom, I can't do this. And I thought, oh my goodness, we just went shopping and bought me a dress, you know? And even just this last time, Heidi and I got together with Mom and Pa at BYU, and Mama had brought all these fun things, you know, kites and oh, you know, airplanes you can fly and pinwheels. Anyway, fun things for the kids. And then they said, oh, but we have some candy bars for you and Heidi because we know what it's like to be a mom. And so you need to stick this in your drawer or under your pillow or something and come and have it whenever you need a minute as a mom. And so I just have to say, Mom, I think you are terrific at just, you know, loving our kids, which of course we want you to love our kids, but just, you know, just knowing that you love us too. And that, you know, the kind of the stage of life we're in and you want to uplift us.
I mean, a couple minutes back when we were just talking about things we learned from Mama, something more practical, that I heard Mama say and that she did and that I need to be better at is she always said, get up a few minutes before your children and it'll make all the difference in your day. And that's something that I don't do well, and usually my kids are waking me up. But the times that I do it, it does make such a difference. So that's something that I've learned from Mama that that I hope to do. And I second Becca, just with how uplifted I feel every time they come visit. I remember during COVID when we were all homeschooling and Mama brought us these hanging baskets, these beautiful hanging flower baskets, because she said it's Teacher Appreciation Week. And she brought all of us, because we were all turned teachers those last few months of school, to celebrate Teacher Appreciation Week. Just little things like that are just so fun that Mama's so creative. And also, when she and Pa are here, they always just say such positive things to build our confidence and tell us that we're doing such a good job as parents and that we have such great families. And I just really appreciate that. It's not always true, and we're not always in our shining moments when they come visit and they see all of life in all of its glory, and yet they always say such positive things, and that makes such a difference. So thank you, Mama.
It is always true. You're always doing these amazing things. We just so appreciate coming into your home because you're all so productive and doing these wonderfully amazing, happy things with your children, things that we never even got around to, and we just love observing your homes. They're beautiful.
I would just second what Heidi said as recently as, you know, a couple weeks ago. I know it wasn't all peaches and cream, and you took care of my kids here to go to school, but I've only heard great things from you about how it went, although I know my own kids, and I know what mornings must have been like, and what afternoons must have been like. So I just second that you always are telling us the positive things that we're doing, and that's super helpful. And one thing that I always remember that you told us, Mama, is if there's a will, there's a way. Don't let money stop you, or don't let work stop you. If this is something you want to do and you feel good about, then there's a way to do it. So just do it. And I've always appreciated that. It's something I've tried to teach my kids. If there's a will, there's a way.
So all these comments remind me of a story that actually Mama told me when I was younger. It's titled When Queens Ride By, and it reminds me of Mama and Pa, and it's always been something that comes to mind as a goal of mine too. It's just a quick story about a mother who's overwhelmed, she's poor, she's just trying to get things happening and has toddlers, and she can barely manage anything. And I don't know the circumstances, but a lady walks into her house and the mother offers her a cup of tea, and the lady is just so uplifting and encouraging and complimentary, and then leaves a handkerchief. And the young mother sees this handkerchief and realizes that she could maybe just step it up just a little to be nicer. And so I just feel like that has been what we've been talking about a little bit, that we are going the extra mile, that we can do our hair, that we can be there for our children, that we can get dressed in the morning. And when we do that, we are setting an example for our children that we can do that. So I've always loved that story. I will add it to the comments because it's so good.
One of my favorite stories too. It always makes me cry when I listen to it or hear it. When Queens Ride By. That's from our childhood a long, long time ago. I remember listening to it.
Does anyone have a copy of that anymore? We used to have it on what was a tape then. I haven't seen it for a while. I wonder if we can find it written out somewhere.
Google's pretty good at pretty much everything. I bet we can find it. Okay. I just want to bring up one more thing. Because the list could go on and on, Mama, but one of the things that I appreciated about you was that it wasn't always peaches and cream in our house growing up. I remember one time when you were extra stressed. I think it was when you were pregnant with the twins and had just found out there was something wrong. They thought something was wrong. We found out later they were twins. And we as kids could sense that there was something wrong and tried to step up our act by folding all of the laundry and putting it away. And I remember when you came home and realized that we had just folded and put away all the dirty laundry, you were not very happy. I don't know if you remember that, but
I remember that situation.
I remember that, and I remember at the time being sad that you were sad. But looking back on it, I think it didn't take more than a week before we were all laughing about it. And it continues to be a good memory to this day. And that says something for motherhood and anything that we try and do that's in keeping with what the Lord wants us to do. When we try our best, then he turns things that sour or are sour at the time into things that are sweet. Going along with that same principle, Mama, I remember that you always helped us to do hard things and to live a high standard. And as a mother, that often means that you are the bad guy or you come across as the witch. I remember in particular one time when I needed to talk to a young women's leader about something and I wanted you to call her and talk to her about it. And you made it, you just let me know that I needed to be the one to call her. And as a mother, it can be so easy to just let down our standards and go with the flow because it's not fun to be the bad guy or to hold high standards in your home. But I'm so grateful that you did. So grateful that you helped us do hard things and that you made sure that we were pretty clear on what was good and allowed and what was not okay, what was a little bit sloppy. You just let us know that we could do better. And I'm really grateful for that.
Oh, thank you, Mimi. That does remind me of a saying that Grandma Bisson had, which was one of those old sayings that mothers must have used in those days. But when I wasn't up to par in my work, or some of my siblings weren't, I can still hear my mom saying, wake up and die right. And what she really meant was, wake up and use your head and live right. And that must, I don't know, that particular way of her saying, wake up and die right, must have been one of those older sayings that maybe she had heard from her mother or grandmother. But it always caused me to realize that what she was trying to say was, you know, you've got a head, you know what's right, step up and do the right thing. So you're saying that maybe just reminded me of how my mother would have said something like that, you know, to keep me doing what I needed to be doing.
I think that's the reminder I needed tonight.
Wake up and die right, Becca.
I tell you another thing my mother said. She would say, do it right now, like R-A-T-E, right now instead of right now. I could not understand why she would never pronounce the word right. She would say, do it right now. It was not until our recent months in Canada that I realized the Canadian people say right instead of right. And of course, my mother's, on her mother's side, her ancestry was Canadian, from the French Canadian area, but they must have said it that way. And that was such a revelation to me to just discover just a few months ago why my mother would have said right instead of right.
I just have another quick comment that I feel like I learned from Mama and Pa. And that was to have covenant confidence. We grew up with very little. And there were often times I remember saying family prayers about things that we needed. I love that Mama and Pa involved us in the family needs and in the family solutions, and that prayer was always on the table and was always a way to find a solution. I appreciate that, and I learned frugality. I appreciate learning how to live on little and make do with things that we had. That's one thing I learned from Mama really well. But one thing I was talking to her about last week was covenant confidence. She was telling me that even just on their recent mission, and I'm assuming, and I remember earlier in their life, when they had little, they always would go to the Lord with the confidence that they knew they were doing the right thing, that they were willing to follow through on any prompting they had, and that the Lord would come through whatever was the right thing. And I feel like we've been talking about that in conferences the last year or two, and Mama and Pa were a really, really good example of living confidently with the Lord and trusting Him. So thank you.
And of keeping the commandments the very best they possibly could. I think that's just so key for kids to see their parents confidently living the gospel and keeping the commandments and not making excuses. I think that really blessed all of us, was their righteous living. I have a thought I want to share. This past week, my oldest daughter had a baby, and even though this is my fourth grandchild, I've had the opportunity to be here firsthand and watch my daughter and her husband adjust to this sweet, sweet little baby. And it's brought back a lot of feelings that I remember when I was bearing children and having children. And it's just reminded me that mothers and being a mother is the closest thing to becoming like a savior that there is in the world. When a mother bears a baby, she literally puts her life at death's door and sacrifices everything, the 9 months before, the labor and birth and delivery, and then afterwards, so many sacrifices for these babies. And they couldn't come into the world without us, and they couldn't survive and exist in the world without us. And you give up so much to be a mother. But in essence, you're like a savior, like the Savior Jesus Christ, giving new birth and life to these children. And so I've been thinking of that. And that just ties into another thought I wanted to ask you about, Mama. I know that you didn't have a perfect mother, but one thing I've appreciated is that you've always been respectful when you were talking about her. And I've thought a lot about that because I feel like some of the trends in the world are for people to criticize their mothers or their parents, or say, I'm this way because of my parents, or I have to relearn this because my parents taught me wrong, or things like that. And that always bothers me a little bit when I hear people say that, because I think my own mother didn't grow up in an ideal home, but she's always been respectful to her mother. And it's just crossed my mind again this week that just the very act of giving birth to a child, in my mind, means that they should always have some respect for you and respect for their mother. So I think, I don't know if you want to comment on that or not, Mama, but that's one thing I've just really appreciated, is that you've been respectful about your mother, even in a world where sometimes mothers aren't always respected. And I think part of it goes simply to the fact that giving birth, giving birth means not demands respect, but deserves respect.
I think that's so true, Nettie. I think it's so true. Mothers give so much to bring children into the world, and I have appreciated that about my mother. She was practically perfect. all of us are imperfect, but she was practically perfect in the fact that she just gave it her all. She gave it what she could, and definitely mothers go through a giving their all to their children. You know, that's what they do. They give their life to their children. And I agree with you. Every mother deserves love and respect for that reason alone, plus the many other things that they do. So thanks for reminding us all of that. Yeah. Every mother should be loved and honored by her children. I agree.
President or Elder Uchtdorf gave a talk this week, and there's just a couple of quotes he shared that I think are related to motherhood. He said, "There is no spiritual power in living by convenience." And motherhood is often very inconvenient, but because of that, it brings a great power with it. And I saw that again this week as I watched my daughter, as she brought her first child into the world. It wasn't convenient, but the power that she's felt and the experience that she and her husband have gone through has been so spiritual and so beautiful. And then the other thing that Elder Uchtdorf said is, never give up on the ideal and don't disregard the real. Accept both. So as mothers, we have an ideal of what we could and should be doing all the time, and it's really hard to always meet that ideal. Motherhood is busy and challenging and hard and difficult, but we shouldn't give up on continually trying, like you said about Grandma Bisson, and don't disregard the real. It's really difficult. Accept both and embrace both.
That's beautiful, Nan. Thanks for sharing.
I also think it's because of the gospel we can do that. I thought
so much about forgiveness. The real key to happy families, the real key to happy motherhood, and the real key to loving your families and overlooking differences and faults is the gospel, is the atonement, and knowing that we get the opportunity to repent and we can give each other the opportunity to repent and we can forgive each other. That's where respect does come from. That's where appreciation does come from, is knowing that the gospel is true, and that's what forgiveness and the Savior's peace brings us.
It really is a perfect plan, isn't it? I think being a mom has taught me so much, and it's a continuous learning journey. It's a perfect plan. Families and children and grandchildren, perfect for developing good human beings. Parents and children, and it just never stops. I'm so grateful for an eternal plan that focuses on families. Could we go around and share something about motherhood before we close? Katie, could we start with you and just kind of work our way up? Is that okay?
In all honesty, I have nothing to say about motherhood.
Is that what we've been doing the whole time? Well, Katie hasn't cried yet for us. I feel like we need a little bit there.
I'm hiding in my room right now.
I just saw a meme the other day that said, "What a privilege it is to end the day tired from hours of mothering." That's my final thought. I'm completely exhausted, but I would be exhausted at the end of the day no matter what I was doing. And there's no better investment of our time than our families and our children. That's my final thought.
Thanks, Hives. My final thought is something from Elder Holland several years ago. And I just love this. He said, there's nothing more important than participating so directly in the work and glory of God. I'm thinking of Emma and her new baby. Wow, you can't know how real and true and the blessing of Heavenly Father's plan until you participate in it. And that's what's taught me so much of the blessing of Heavenly Father's plan of families and of motherhood. We get to participate so directly in His work and glory, and it's an eternal, incredible blessing.
I would say I just am so grateful to be a mother. Over Easter, I was feeling so grateful for the fact that motherhood gives us an opportunity to have the Lord walk by our sides. It just is so tangible. I recently have been learning. I have voice lessons right now, and I love having voice lessons and learning how to better use my voice. And the song that I've been learning is by Hillary Weeks. It's called Still Believe, and it is beautiful. I'll put it in the comments, too, when we post this. But some of the wording says, I haven't seen his face, but I have seen his miracles. And as I've been learning the song and singing it over and over, what's come to mind is that as a mother, I see miracles daily. Another line in it says, I didn't walk with him, but each day he's here by my side. And I can sing that with my whole heart because I feel him walking with me. Motherhood is the greatest of all callings. It's a divine responsibility and privilege. And I just am so grateful that I have an opportunity to work with the Savior hand in hand and to see miracles each and every day and to feel him there guiding and directing me. I love being a mother.
Thanks, Mamie. I'll just end with another thought by Elder Uchtdorf. He said, if you wait for sorrow to end to experience joy, you might miss joy completely. And his point was that life is so much of a mixture of sorrow and joy that it's so important we find the joy. And I think that's so true of motherhood. It's true of labor and delivery. It's true of every day dealing with these children and trying to raise them. It can be full of sorrow and hardships. But if we wait for that to end to experience joy, we're going to miss the joy that comes. I like to think of children as an investment. I feel so rich when I think about my children. I feel so rich when I think about the wonderful things they've done and the good people they are. And I'm starting to see how the investment comes around and is just more than worth the sorrow I had or the trouble I had, all the joy that comes in the end. I'm so grateful for motherhood and I'm grateful to be a mother. And I'm thankful, Mama, for all that you taught us and all that Grandma Bisson also passed down and the other mothers.
Man, thank you. That reminds me of the poem you wrote called Investment. Would you post that in the comments too? We have that on our wall next to all of our family pictures, and it reminds me often that it is an investment and it will bring dividends.
Yes,
it will. Beautiful poem.
Thank you.
My closing thought is just the common quote that we hear, that the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. And the older I get, the more I see how that works. Not only in the, I feel like sometimes rocking the cradle is tedious, but it is also joyful as we watch our children grow up. And when we have given it our all and put our effort and our sacrifice in, the quality of individuals that come out of that can rule the world. Those are the leaders of our world and of our communities and our families. But also the quantity. I love, Nan, also the lesson that you have given many times about all the quantity, all this legacy that has been handed down. Grandma and her 12 children, Mama and Pa and their 11, and now each of us with our families. It is this legacy of service and faith that can just go on forever. Do you have any closing thoughts, Mama, before we end?
Well, I want to say how beautiful all your closing thoughts have been and how I agree with them. I love being a mother, too. It's the greatest, most rewarding career I think any woman could have. When I got my patriarchal blessing, there was a line in there that said, to bring choice spirits into the world will bring your greatest happiness. And of course, that was a few years before I was ever a mother, but I marvel that that has been the case. To bring you beautiful, choice, wonderful spirits into the world has brought me my very, very greatest happiness. And one of the things that I have appreciated too over the years is the idea that this plan of salvation, sometimes we're not we think we know how it's all heading and going, but the very fact that we could be a mother, in being a mother, we're also the child. We're also the student. And it's that quote where that we've heard before about it's not so much that adults make children, but that children make adults. And so it really is a school, and we really are the students, and Heavenly Father has provided this rich opportunity for us to be mothers, and it benefits us as well. I love this plan. It's a perfect plan, and I love being a mother, and I love all of you, and I'm so grateful that you're mine forever and ever.
Thank you for the legacy that you have left us.
Happy Mother's Day to all of you wonderful mothers. Love you all.
We love you, Mama.
Thank you, Mama. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us for this special Sister Share Mother's Day edition. Remember, there's no way to be a perfect mother, but there are a million ways to be a good mother. If you haven't already, like and follow us on social media and listen to us on any podcast platform.